Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chris with Play in Faith, and I am so excited here today. I am with legendary high school basketball coach Lenny Krebs. He flinches that introduction, but it is absolutely true. And he is entering his 23rd season as a head coach here in Indiana, coming off a state title appearance with the Warsaw Tigers. Absolutely excited to have Coach Krebs here today. How's it going, Coach?
It's going well. Thank you. Kind words. I'm going to laugh. Legendary just means old. Those two words are synonyms. But, you know, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, I'm excited to see what God has in store for you in this program. Just excited about where it could be going.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're definitely excited, and I hope we can amplify the mission hopefully all over the country and all over the world in the next couple of years. So as we sit down, obviously last year was an incredible year. A lot of attention came from it, a lot of awards, a lot of recognition for your girls. But also, having gotten to know you, I know that's not the primary objective for you with coaching. So just, if you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit about, you know, how you got into coaching, your coaching career, and then just what do you really love about it? You've been doing it at a high level for a really long time.
You know, as far as getting into coaching, I fell in love with basketball in a very early age. Obviously, you know, we'll talk more about this later, but being born with a hearing loss, I just gravitated towards the sport, and I never wanted to be known as Lenny Krebs, the kid with a hearing loss. And so I really just fell in love with the game, became pretty good at basketball, and that was where I found my identity. And as you know, when you find your identity and what you do, eventually that is going to end. You're going to come crashing down from it. And so I did have that crash where I just had to separate who I was from what I did.
Sure.
And I just wanted to go into coaching because I didn't want kids to experience what I experienced. Huh. That depression of knowing my value, what is it right now, you know, trying to find it. I think so many kids in today's world are trying to find it. And so, you know, for me, coaching is more about giving back and helping kids avoid the mistakes I made with wrapping my identity in what I did. And if you don't know, the word coach actually came from an ancient Hungarian town. And in this ancient Hungarian town, they made fine carriages.
Okay.
Think Cinderella, a carriage. Well, another name for a carriage is
a coach.
A coach. Sure. The job or the role of that carriage or coach is to take a very important person from where they are to where they want to go. That's my job as a coach, to take some very important people, my players, from where they are to where they want to go or where they need to be. When we can identify as coaches that's our job, I think the whole profession is going to start to change because we realize it's not about winning and losing. It's about those young ladies, those young men that you coach, and helping them get to where they want to go.
I love it. I think that's such a great way to look at it. And we have that conversation all the time with, you know, how are we viewing the players that are sitting across from us? Are they tools to win a basketball game or to relive some glory, which you see a lot in youth sports, you know, or are we looking at them as very important people that we're getting from one place to the next? I love that perspective and hope it sticks. So obviously you've been at Warsaw now for 6-7 years. Is that right?
I'll be entering year number 9.
Year number 9. Okay. Didn't start here. So just kind of walk me through a little bit of your Indiana coaching career and just some different stops along the way.
I actually grew up in the Fairfield School District. Okay. Far from here. I graduated from Fairfield. My graduating class was about 70 kids.
Oh, wow.
Small class. From there, I went to Illinois Valley Community College, played for 2 years there before transferring to Grace College, playing for Coach Kester at Grace College.
Nice.
And
for those who don't, Grace is right here in Warsaw, Indiana, or Winona Lake, sure.
Yep. Once I graduated from Grace, I was student teaching at Fairfield, so I coached freshman boys.
Okay.
For 1 year at Fairfield before I got a job in the Northwood system. And I started out in the Northwood system coaching sixth grade boys for a year before moving up to freshman boys. Coached freshman boys for a couple years at Northwood before I switched to JV girls. And I will tell you this. I will never go back to coaching boys.
Amen. I'm a girl dad too.
I joke. You have to convince girls they're a little bit better than what they think they are. You have to convince guys they're not nearly as good as they think they are.
Oh, look at the AAU shot selection, right? I had this discussion with someone we were looking to bring on as a coach and said to me, he said, you know, Chris, I'm really nervous. Like, I don't know. I've never coached girls before. And I said, well, this is just my opinion. I said, well, don't coach girls, coach athletes. And the fact that they're girls is secondary. Coach athletes, and you know, but off the court, they are girls. Let's shoot them like girls.
They are.
But yeah, that's. I agree with you. It's a wonderful mission.
Yeah. So I coached girls for a couple years. I was blessed in my time there to coach under Dan Gunn with the boys program, who's a Hall of Fame coach. Mm-hmm. Steve Neff in the girls program, who is a Hall of Fame coach. So I got two Hall of Fame coaches that I got to work under. Very blessed in that sense. After about 7 years at Northwood, I was given the opportunity to coach varsity girls at Goshen High School.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed at Goshen for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
Was there and saw the program start to win double digits every year, double digit wins, which is not always common at Goshen High School.
Oh, sure.
Got them to 18 wins and just felt like the program was in a good place. But in that process, I was really getting burnout. A lot of time, a lot of just effort going into it. And I was actually calling around to some area schools, just seeing if they had an assistant coaching opening. When Warsaw opened up, and I thought, I'm just going to throw my hat in the ring, see what happens. If it's meant to be, God's going to open and close doors as he sees fit.
Sure.
And just to see God open door after door that led me to this place, I have no doubt this is where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, for sure.
And my perspective also changed in how I coached girls in basketball and how I viewed it over that time. Knowing that in my mind, I was ready to sacrifice it all. Here it is, Lord, I'm ready to get out of head coaching and just be an assistant coach.
That's a tough downshift for anyone who's not coached before. That's a very different role.
it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, just in my mind, I'd made up my mind. I'm comfortable and confident doing whatever. I just need something different. But also during that time, I know the Lord was working on me in my heart and just reminded me the why of coaching. And I feel like that shift from Goshen to Warsaw also shifted my mind of, remember why you do this. It's about the kids. It's about the kids. Every coach in the game probably feels pressure to win. I'm not going to lie. I feel pressure to win here at Warsaw. However, I know now the way that's done is not by focusing on the winning, but focusing on the relationships and the kids and just helping them get to where they want to go will help us produce the winning. So like I said, there's my journey, 9 years here. Everybody will always ask me, how many more do you have?
I won't put you on the spot.
I will tell you what I tell everybody. I have one more. How many times I have one more, I don't know.
I think a lot of people just did a little spit take if they're listening. Like, one more, wait, no.
One more. How many more times? I don't know.
I think that's a fair way to look at it. And then I just like your approach to, you know, we talk about that even outside of sports and in business. You know, we find our why. When the why is compelling enough, the how starts to become a lot more evident. We figure out the how, and we find that joy and that passion. And one of the things that your program does so well is, and it's evident even from the bleachers, is just really strong culture. The way the girls interact with one another, the way they interact with the community, the way they behave on the court. So I know one of the things we talked about is that process you go through to get that team culture and building some of those monuments along the way. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you do or have done to really build some of that culture here at Warsaw and at other stops in your career.
You know, we start every year with a team camp in June We go away to, this year it was Huntington University. We took just our kids. There's no other team on campus. It's just us. We determine when we practice. We determine when we're going to be in the classroom. We determine every aspect of our team camp. And it starts there with us just building relationships and getting to know each other and spending time together. But one of the things that we do there is I have the kids write their quote unquote senior letter.
And now how old are some of these? Because you're taking younger athletes as well, not just varsity.
We offer it all the way down to our seventh and eighth grade if they want to go. They are welcome to go. We take seventh grade, eighth grade, obviously freshman, JV, varsity, all those kids. So we had some younger kids go this year that they chose to go. They're starting to see what our culture looks like at a very young age so that when they get here, they're just used to this is how we do things.
Sure.
But one of the things we do when we're there is I have our kids, you know, every year at the senior or the awards banquet at the end of the year, I read a letter that I have written to each of my seniors. It's a personal letter that just reflects on their time here and how we feel about them and where they're going and my prayer for their life and so forth. But I ask them to write a letter that they would want me to read about them. What do you want Coach Krebs to say about you on senior awards night? And they keep these in their locker. This is just a way for me to see who they want to be and how I can hold them accountable. Discipline then becomes easy in a sense of if they write something and they show up today and they're not that person, all I have to do is say, you're not who you said you would be.
That's not you coming down on them. It's just holding up a mirror to this is where you want to be. We're not there today. Let's go.
And it is. It's a reflection. And, you know, the thing I found is when it's their idea, they're more willing and likely to buy into it. I mean, I'll use this analogy.
Sure.
If I go home and tell my kids to clean their room, they'll clean their room. It's probably not done to the best of their ability.
The bare minimum acceptable check mark.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But if it's their idea to clean their room because they want a clean room and they have friends coming over and something's happening and they want to have a clean room, it's a different quality.
Sure.
And so for us, we want to create a situation where they tell us who they want to be and we hold them accountable to that. So that's the first thing. We start with that whole process. We do have some key words in our program. We have performance skill words that they have to know. We have relational skill words that they have to know, a common terminology so that when we are talking about trustworthy, everybody understands what that word means. So we have a lot of common terminology that they will put in these senior letters. The other thing we do throughout the course of the year is we talk about memorials. And for those of you who don't know, I was and still am a preacher's kid. My father was a pastor for about 38 years. I grew up in the church. No, I was not that rebellious preacher's kid.
You were a good preacher's kid.
People think as soon as they hear preacher's kid.
Oh, no, what happened? Fair.
So, you know, I go back to the scripture where the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness or getting ready to cross into the promised land, and God parts the Jordan and he tells them, I need one person from each of the 12 tribes to pick up a stone, a rock from the middle, take it across and build a memorial so that when your kids ask, what is this memorial? You can tell them, this is where God took us across on dry ground. We build memorials in our program, and memorials end up being physical things that I can give them as a reminder of a lesson learned. For example, those of you who didn't follow our journey, not last year, but the previous Christmas, we were 8-7 at Christmas time.
Sure.
We were not playing well together. We were not gelling the way we needed to. We had a ton of talent. We just couldn't put the pieces together. So we spent that next offseason talking about connecting. Just connect with each other. Build relationships. Connect. I showed them one of the largest Lego sets you can possibly buy. And you know, you and I had this conversation. I hate Legos with a passion. But we talked about how do you put one of the largest Lego sets together. piece by piece. Just keep connecting pieces. And that became our theme. So therefore, I got them Lego pieces that were keychains that went on their backpack. It was just a simple reminder of just connect, keep connecting.
Yeah,
it was amazing to me because if you walk in our locker room, there are multiple Lego sets above our lockers that they spent time in there just putting Lego sets together.
That's awesome. It's fun.
Yeah. You know, a golf ball. Those of you who don't know this, a golf ball, when it was first made many years ago, golf balls were completely smooth. And every time a golf ball would get hit, it would put a dent in the golf ball. And eventually, golf balls got so many dents on the outside cover that they would take the golf ball out of play and put a new golf ball in play. Engineers figured out that the more dents a golf ball had, the farther it would actually fly, which is why today's golf ball has dimples.
Sure.
We won our first 18 games of the year last year, went to Homestead, and just got drilled.
Good program. Yeah.
Well, the next day, they're going to have a golf ball in their locker. It's a reminder. It's just a dent. The more dents we accumulate, the farther we can go. It's just a dent. You know, those are the types of things that we give them. You know, one more piece of bamboo. If you don't know, bamboo, when it's first planted, you water it for year one, it doesn't sprout. You water it for year two, it doesn't sprout. It's not until the third year of you watering this seed that it would break the surface and start to grow. But when it sprouts, it will grow 90 feet in 60 days. Therefore, one of the things we tell our kids is when you don't see the results you want, just keep watering. So therefore, they'll get a bamboo stick, a piece of bamboo. These are things that I want them to remember because they're not basketball skills, they're life skills.
For sure. I mean, so much of it translates. It's kind of our motto, right? This is one of the greatest dress rehearsals for life, as long as we use it properly, right? So along that line with the bamboo and the watering, I imagine that is something that many of your players go through. It's something that parents who are listening now have children that are going through where we want this immediate gratification or we have these setbacks and we go through it in our program. I'll hear kids, I'm not going to play anymore because I'm not any good. I'm like, well, we're in sixth, we're in seventh grade, and maybe we had some setbacks. So if you had to have some of those conversations where we're talking to a kid and, you know, the bamboo analogy, like, so how do you help them get through some of that? Because that is a struggle for a lot of people that are listening right now.
You know, I'm going to mention two young ladies that I think exemplify this in our program. One graduated last year, Braylee Chastain, who as a freshman, she played JV. As a sophomore, she played JV. As a junior, she got a little bit of time. As a senior, she was a key piece of our state runner-up. A key piece to our...
Fantastic ball player. Yeah.
The kid averaged maybe 2 to 3 points a game. We had conversations with her all the time about just keep watering. Just keep watering. And, you know, another example of that is Erin McManus this year. She's going to be, she's a senior right now. She hasn't played a lot in her 3 years. She's now in a position where she can do something similar to what Braylee has done and contribute on the court in a way that is extremely valuable to the team on the court. But to answer your question, I think the key to those types of people and parents who are battling that, I'm going to go back to what we talked about at the beginning. That's not where their value is found.
Amen.
That they're valuable because of who they are and whose they are. Children of the King, they're a daughter, they're a future wife, they're a future mother. That's where their value was found. And, you know, we talk about that all the time. And fittingly enough, would I like to have won that state title? Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. The competitive side of me. However, all year long we were preaching, your value comes from who you are and whose you are. All year long we're preaching that. After we lost the state final game, it was a great ending in a sense of I was able to walk in the locker room. And I know when I say these next few words, the first part of it, you're going to go, whoa, careful. I made this comment. You just lost the biggest game on the biggest stage in your career this far? And I can see eyes start to turn. And my next comment was, and it still doesn't change your value.
Yeah.
I needed to say that, partly for me, as a reminder to myself that even losing that game doesn't change our value. And so the parents that are listening, that are struggling with this, whose kids are not where they want to be, remember their value.
Sure.
It's not what they do, it's who they are. And that's why, for me, this whole coaching journey has gone almost full circle, in a sense of, I started playing because I was trying to find value, and now I'm coaching to try to make sure kids understand their value. And it's not from what they do. And so many parents, I've had this conversation, well, if my daughter's not going to start as a freshman on varsity, we're going to transfer. Well, what kind of
right.
message is that sending your daughter, and where her value comes from?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's kind of an epidemic. It's I mean, a lot of pressure, but you know, I think you make a wonderful point in that. To me, that's some of the beauty of sports, in that I find some of them, obviously I'm coaching on a much different level. It's middle school kids and elementary kids, but we've had girls miss buzzer beating shots and crumple in tears, and those have been some of our most powerful moments, where I watched the girls pick that girl up and hug her, and the conversation is, hey, it didn't go our way today, but we're still here. Everyone still loves you. And if I can draw that play up 100 more times, I'm going to draw it up the same way, and you're going to make a whole lot of them. And make or miss, everyone here still loves you.
You know,
right?
And to go along with that, I go back to COVID years when gyms were a little bit more empty because not as many people could come and so forth. Or if you have a family member who can't watch you play, I want you to think about the first two questions those family members ask if they didn't see the game. Did you win?
Sure.
And how many points did you score?
Almost always.
What are we telling today's generation? No, I would encourage people, and this is me speaking to myself as a father as well, to ask the right questions. Were you a good teammate today? Tell me how you handled adversity today. Did you demonstrate courage? When we start asking the right questions and we start putting the value where it needs to go, I think the whole just culture of sports in general is going to change. And that starts with us as parents
mm-hmm.
putting value where it needs to go.
It's hard, right? I mean, I think we all feel that pull, like where I even find myself as, look, this is what I do for a living. I'm having these conversations. We're building this massive platform. And I've still sat in the bleachers on a day where, you know, you're at a camp and you're like, oh, my kid's not getting the ball enough, or they're not the right. And we all feel that pull, right? Where we want the best for our young athletes and our kids so badly. But it is a really good reminder that, look, there's a lot more out there. And then how we handle that goes a long way to how they handle it.
Correct.
In turn.
Correct.
Right?
Amen.
And it's not easy.
It is not.
So as you all obviously have built this culture, you spend a lot of time and you're very intentional. I think that's a good word. It's a great word for Christian parents. It's a great word for leaders. Is good leaders tend to be very, very intentional. Culture does not happen on accident. It takes some purposeful watering. But we see that bamboo grow in the toughest of moments. So obviously you all had some very tense moments along the journey. Very talented ball club. A lot of people thought you could make that run, but you had a heck of an opponent at semi-state. Or was it semi-state when you guys had Hamilton Southeast? Or the
semi-state.
Yeah, I mean, that's most of the year, number one ranked team in the state, even getting some votes in national polls. Fantastic ball club. So tell me a little bit about that game. And there was a moment where that culture really paid dividends for you.
For those of you who don't know, when we played HSC, In the semi-state championship, they were number one in the state, ranked number nine in the nation. And we had just won the first game that morning against McCutcheon and went back to the hotel. And, you know, the staff is sitting around. We're talking about how do we attack HSE?
Yeah.
And, you know, what do we do? And our big thing was, we just need to get these kids believing. We can give them X's and O's and scouting reports, and we just need to get them to believe. And one of the things we talked about in the hotel was, why not us?
Sure.
Nobody's beat them yet this year, but why not us? And we went into the game and had the lead for most of the game. Halftime, we're up. If you don't remember the game, Jocelyn Bicker hits a buzzer beater right before halftime. We're going into halftime with a lot of momentum. Come out in the third quarter, we start to face some adversity. We go from up 8 to down 8, a 16-0 run. That type of run is usually all it takes for a team like Hamilton Southeastern to put you away and win a game.
Mm-hmm.
When we got down 8, I called a timeout, and I'm sure everybody's thinking, oh, he's probably going to go in there and just let them have it. And trust me, there was part of me that was frustrated with, like, how did we just give up a 16-0 run? I don't want people to think I'm this weird creature that just doesn't have coaching moments where, you know, I fight those urges to
sure.
to want to go off. And I've just learned that I have to try to discipline myself because they're watching me.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into the huddle, and I sat down and remember our Lego pieces thing we've been talking about all year, just connect. I spent 60 seconds talking about, we just need to connect. We just need to reconnect. If we can start playing together again, we're going to be just fine. What they want us to do is fracture and start to play as individuals. And we just had that conversation 60 seconds, and we went back out, and everybody knows the end of that game.
Yeah.
That we ended up winning. But the other thing that people don't realize, if you didn't see that game, was my senior who went to Ball State and she's playing at Ball State right now, an Indiana senior all-star, fouls out.
Mm-hmm.
My point guard, who's going to Butler, fouled out with about 2.5 minutes. I mean, at this point, I can start to feel...
big problem.
Like we have a problem right now.
Sure.
But I also had to go back to everything I'd been telling them and teaching them, that we just need to stay the course and we just need to keep watering, and that's what they did. For them, I think that was a key moment in our season for them to realize, if we just connect and build relationships and do this with and for each other, great things happen.
Yeah, I mean, just what a beautiful testament to your culture, too, that not only are they able to connect, but, I mean, it takes special people to be an upperclassman playing behind underclassmen who are that level of talent. You know, when you're talking high D1 level, there's some seniors that were sitting behind sophomores and juniors, and the fact that they stayed ready, they stayed connected, and were able to perform in a moment like that tells you a lot about the team that you have and the culture, for sure.
You know, we talk all the time, and this is another life skill. Are you waiting for your opportunity, or are you preparing for it? Mm. Are you waiting for a job, or are you preparing for a job? To me, those are two completely different things.
Very different.
And we had some kids who weren't just waiting for their opportunity. They were preparing for it, not knowing if it was going to come or not. Hmm. And, you know, you can go back through the season, and kids like Layla Knepp, kids like Abby Peterson, kids like Braylee Chastain, all those kids, they didn't know if that moment was going to present itself, but they showed up prepared every night.
Hmm.
And that's a tribute to them as a young lady
for
and
sure.
who they are.
Yeah, and those are skills that, look, you win a couple basketball games, but I assure you there's employers all over the world, or heck, they'll probably be the employer at some point. And those skills translate all across life. So I know for those of you listening, we could probably have Coach Krebs on for hours and hours and hours. And that is, in fact, our plan. At some point, we're going to keep dragging him on here as often as he will allow us, talk a little bit about his playing career and his journey, which I think you'll find fascinating. And then a lot of conversations where we can share some of this wisdom for some of the parents at home. But for today, we're going to let Coach Krebs off the hot seat, but we are going to say thank you. Thank you very much for sharing some of your ideas and your wisdom. So I'm going to part with just one last thought or one last bit of advice. While we do have a lot of athletes that listen to this podcast, I think our largest audience are parents of athletes, and very, very often those parents overlap into coaches of youth teams. It's very often parents of standout athletes. So what are some things, because not everyone who's coaching, you know, on an AAU or a club level is going to have the same time frame. We are at coach's school here. So not everyone's going to have that same time frame where they have a locker or a dedicated area. What are some things that coaches can do on the youth level to start building some of that culture and really start putting the focus where it needs to be, not just winning, but the whole picture, the big picture?
You know, when you talk about culture, it has nothing to do with a building or an area. It has everything to do with, going back to that Lego piece, just connecting.
Yeah.
These kids, I can't imagine being a kid in today's world with today's social media where they're spending their time comparing themselves to everybody's best 15 seconds. You get on social media, everybody's posting their best 15 seconds.
Oh, these TikToks and Instagram, right? I mean, yeah, you'll see kids come in the gym and they want to do these like ridiculous moves instead of just working on fundamentals. And everyone looks like they are an all-American superstar on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you couple that with everybody's posting offers, everybody's posting, you know, all of the things. That's a lot of pressure for today's kid. And yeah. I think what they really want is just to know that they're loved and valued. And so when it comes to building those relationships and culture, I think it's just make sure they know that they're loved and why you feel they're valuable. And you know that why, once again, is who they are and whose they are. Sure. And when they feel valued, the culture just starts to build itself. You know, everybody, yes, we are very intentional about what we do here. We are probably to a fault. however, I can tell you that when the kids know that they're loved and they're valued, it starts to build itself. Yeah. And so my advice is just make sure they know they're loved, make sure they feel valued, and just watch what happens. The kids who don't even play, as long as they feel valued, they're going to keep showing up and they're going to keep trying to do everything they can to please you and just make you proud. And, you know, you and I will share another story at some point, a hard lesson I had to learn with that, sure, with my own daughter. We'll talk about that more on another episode, but just love these kids.
So fun fact here. So stay tuned, everyone, because your daughter is actually going to come on. And we're going to talk about what it's like to be coached by your father. I told her I'd give her first crack, so we'll see how she does.
Oh, you're nervous now. Give me back up. Maybe I need to say some things now.
Well, yeah, we're going to have Caselyn on soon, too. But no, we'll absolutely talk about that story. But no, again, thank you so much. And then I really do think some of these lessons are so, so valuable for parents and coaches out there. And I appreciate everything that you're doing to just make a difference in our local culture, to impact these athletes' lives for a greater purpose. And we will absolutely be cheering for your team, praying for your girls. I know my daughters are big fans of a lot of your seniors who've coached them at camps, and we're absolutely going to be praying for you and the Warsaw Tigers this year, Coach.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be on. And you know, praying for you as you launch this entire journey. In faith, not knowing where it's going to go. Thank you for your obedience and listening to his call. He's going to reward that. How, when, what is it going to look like? That's way above my pay grade. But thank you. Keep making a difference in people's lives as well. Thank you for the opportunity to be on. And you know, if anybody wants to reach out and talk more, I will be more than happy to tell you my many mistakes that I've made as a father and a coach. So, you know, my cell phone number, I'm just going to throw this out just for you guys. My cell phone number is 574-536-5215. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And I'm willing to talk at any time.
Love it. Yeah, we're going to put Coach's contact info in the notes as well. And then, yeah, you're going to make a lot of impact, not just with your team, but, you know, in some of the audiences and some of the speaking engagements you're doing. So, feel free to drop Coach a line, and we're going to make sure we get him on to talk again. But thank you very much, and, can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit planfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.